Beloved Rockers, Royal Oak community members, beloved friends of Rockers, people who are visiting and tuning into this broadcast wherever you are in this country, in this world. What wondrous love is this? What fierce love is this? God is this love. In the text we read just now in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21, the word love was used 25 times. Now, you would think, after hearing that word 25 times in the context of that scripture, and that word was associated with God, then we would be able to define God. So, wherever you are, I'd like you to just mentally take an exercise and define God. Take a moment and ask yourself, or maybe have your kids ask you, or your spouse, or your loved one, or your friends, wherever you are, how do you define God? Who is God? What is God? And what would you say? Would you say, oh yeah, God, okay, yeah, all right, here we go. God is all-powerful, all-present, all-seeing, all-hearing, all-knowing, all. And you may get on a roll with those all things. But everything you just said was an attribute to God. They are the secondary characteristics of God. I would propose to you, and our scripture this morning bears this out, that God is love. Period. God is love, and none of those other attributes matter except that God is love. And God shares that love, pours that love into us, whether we deserve it or not. And I learned this because many, many years ago, I had lunch with my first mentor, and he was preparing me for my District Committee on Ministry meeting, and he asked me that question, Tim, how would you define God? And I went off, as I just did, with the all this, all that, bing, 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 bing. And after several minutes of talking, where I felt, yeah, I'm really rolling, my mentor stopped me and said, Tim, wait a minute, just a second. You never said once that God is love. You did not define God. You don't know who God is. In verse 7 of our second reading this morning, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so this morning I want to take this thing which is so obvious and examine this idea that God is love from different perspectives and see what that means to us and how we live today in this time of pandemic. So, dear God, creator, redeemer, sustainer, great lover of beyond all other things, God who pours love into each of us, each of your children here, please love me, lift me, inspire me, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart bring this, your community, to a greater understanding, a greater connection of you as love and as themselves, as your representatives of love in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. When I was growing up, it seemed like there was one translation of the Bible, the King James Version. But over the years, there have been many, many, many other translations of the Bible. And so the Reverend Eugene Peterson, who was a Presbyterian minister, a theologian, a philosopher, he has a translation, or some people would say an interpretation, of the Bible. And in his introduction to 1 John, the book where this second reading came from this morning, here's what he says. I'm quoting Reverend Peterson. The two most difficult things to get straight in life are love and God. More often than not, the mess people make of their lives can be traced to failure or unwise decisions or meanness in one or both of these areas, love and God. If we want to deal with God the right way, we have to learn to love the right way. And if we want to love the right way, we have to deal with God the right way. God and love cannot be separated. And so that's Reverend Peterson and the introduction to First Book of John, 1 John. So let's understand something. Biblical love, the love that we see in the Old and New Testament, is different in many ways than the concept that we have of love today. Biblical love is active. It is freely given. It is continuous. It is fierce. It is powerful. It is creative, and many more things. Moses, biblical love. Abraham was willing to almost sacrifice his son, biblical love. John the Baptist, preaching in the desert, gave his life because he spoke truth to power, biblical love. Paul was put in prison and wrote the letters to his churches from prison, biblical love. Biblical love was active and powerful and creative and fierce. And as it says in verse 19 of our second reading this morning, we love because he loved us first. Biblical love is not passive. But much of our modern concept of love today, if you think about it, we have this kind of passive idea of love. We use the word love in lots of places. If you were to ask me, what'd you have for breakfast? I'd say chocolate. If you were to ask me, what do you have going to have when you go home for lunch? I would say chocolate. And then if you asked me about dinner time, well, you wouldn't be wrong if you thought he's going to say chocolate. Chocolate. You see, I love chocolate. And I find some way, and it's kind of difficult sometimes, but I find some way to bring chocolate into every meal that I eat. I love chocolate. I love cars. I love Disney movies. But all of those things that I just said are not exactly active, creative, fierce love. You know, I mean, I love chocolate. I don't have to talk to the chocolate. I don't have to listen to it. If it has problems, they're not my problem. I can watch Disney movies all day long. I never have to get Adam off my couch, right? Somehow we have this conception of modern love as being passive. Yeah, bring it to me, baby. But it's different when we get to God's love. God's love is active. God is always the first mover in this relationship of love with us. Do you remember when, in Matthew 22, in verses 30 to 40, when Jesus was standing during Holy Week, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Herodians, the teachers of the law, were interrogating him because they wanted to trap him. And so their best legal mind figured out that he would ask Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Got him. I got him. Right? Got him. Because there were over 620, 30, whatever, commandments in the Old Testament, laws that had to be followed. And no matter which one of those Jesus picked, they were certain they could then catch him. And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, if Jesus had stopped right there, if he had, that legal scholar and all the Pharisees and Sadducees would have been dumbfounded. They would have been beaten. Jesus would have gotten the better of that interrogation. And our lives as Christians would have been a lot simpler, way more easy. Because all we would have had to do then is say, yeah, we love God, I love God, I love God, I love God. If you were to walk down the street in St. Michael's and ask somebody two questions, one, are you a Christian? And two, do you love God? They would invariably say, yeah, I love God, I love God, I love God. But what does that mean when it's a God that we cannot see or feel or touch? But Jesus did not let us off the hook. You see, Jesus had a second part to his answer. And he said this, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's when Jesus made it really hard for us Christians to live as followers of Jesus. That is a challenge. And those same people walking down the street in St. Michael's that you would just ask them, do you love God? If you could continue questioning them and ask them, well, do you love the hungry, the homeless, the immigrant, the poor, the sick, the arrogant, the irritating, the people who think about different politicians than you do? That is where people might have trouble being so affirming in their answer. That is why it is so important that the God we worship is love. Wondrous love, fierce love, love. Now, another characteristic of Jesus was, apart from giving a two-part answer to that, which continually challenges us to this day, Jesus was always personal and hands-on in his ministry. Did you notice he never waved his hands over the crowds and said,